Hey, we are going to go over goal setting. So goal setting in relationships, goal setting in marriage. And we want to really kind of lay this foundation of setting goals, because goals help us to determine our direction. It helps us determine our trajectory.
Helps us to lay a foundation so that if anything should happen, we can always have something to come back to.
It gives us an anchor
when
life hits, because as you all are well aware, life is going to hit. So we want to make sure that we have goals that are they're doable, but at the same time, they present a healthy challenge. And so if you all are taking notes, I'll go ahead and share my screen. The first point we want to talk about today is we want to think
healthy,
not high expectations. And you may ask, why are we trying to think healthy and not high expectations? Because often the toughest critic on our lives is us.
Yeah.
And if we have high expectations, then that means that we have unrealistic expectations. Yes. And if we have unrealistic expectations, it always feels like we're always going for something.
We're going to be forever disappointed, forever frustrated, and feel like we're in a perpetual cycle of going nowhere, right? With unrealistic expectations. But we did want to basically give you a definition of what high expectations look like, because you're like, well, I don't know what, you know, I think mine are fine, but how do I know?
So yeah, here's
some key characteristics.
So
high expectations. It is a relationship that you believe can be free of conflict. That's so unrealistic, right? In fact, conflict is actually healthy, because when you come to a, when you come to a head of something, you can agree, get some understanding of where each other sits and go forward, right? So conflict can be a really healthy thing, but a relationship free of conflict is kind of a high expectation. A relationship that you think will help heal all your past wounds, traumas, and hurts. I'm gonna tell you, your spouse is there to be a support, but they're not therapists, right? They can't help you there, and they're not Christ. They can't fulfill voids that only Christ can. So if you're expecting that, that's kind of a high expectation. A relationship that you feel can make you happy all the time, right? Like, this person's gonna make me happy. That this is, I'm gonna just be, you know, forever satisfied, never, you know, what, like feeling anything. That's kind of a high expectation. And lastly, a relationship that validates me all the time and that makes me feel less lonely. So these are kind of unhealthy, unrealistic expectations.
And that's interesting, because, you know, when we're sitting across from couples, the common thread is that we're having conflict, or they're projecting things from the past into the actual relationship that they're in, or the dissatisfaction of, I feel like they don't make me happy. So the reality is, the majority of our sessions really lend themselves to couples not understanding the importance of setting the right types of goals and expectations for each other. And so we want to shift from thinking high expectations to thinking healthy expectations. And here's what makes up a healthy expectation. And we kind of poured through resources and books and seminars, and we had to kind of synthesize this definition to make it simple. And a healthy expectation is an expectation that is full of love and support, but it's without judgment.
Yeah. So full of love and free of judgment.
Yeah. Full of love, free of judgment. Those are the types of things that we can look forward to when we're saying, okay, as husband and wife in this relationship, what are our goals?
Yeah.
And love, agape, I love the definition you found from agape yesterday.
Yeah, so agape is basically sharing with that, with your person, whoever you're with, your dating or spouse, that love with regardless of your emotion, right? So that's agape love. So when I am able to share love with you, show love with you, display love with you, regardless of how I feel in the moment, then that's really God's picture of a healthy relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's kind of hard to do. I realize that. I'm not saying this as if we're perfect at this.
Yeah, I mean, this is truly a real conversation, because it sometimes is tough when we feel like the person that we're with is not making the progress that we thought they should be making.
Yeah.
And I heard a quote yesterday that says, congratulations in getting married because you have now committed yourself to a set of problems that you cannot fix. I thought that that was so unique. Was it because, was it Goldman that said that?
Maybe. Gottman.
Was it Gottman? Shout out, Jay.
Yeah, for Gottman. Yeah, because the reality is when we get into a relationship, we either try to change or control. But I want to tell you all this. We cannot change nor control the person that we're with, but we can cover them, right? Maybe cover them in prayer, cover them with our love, cover them with things that, you know, maybe they need it at the time to help support them. But we cannot change nor control.
But as we can see with the high expectation, that deals with a lot of the baggage within us individually. Mm-hmm. So the best thing that we can do, no matter what season of relationship that we're in, is to get healthy emotionally, spiritually, physically, the best way that we know how, so that we're not putting the angst on the person in which that we love. So let's go to the next slide here. There we go. So let's talk about when we're making these goals, because we're going to give you a chance to, by the end of today's session, at least get on the path to making goals for your relationship and your marriage. Mm-hmm. If we're honest, Ash and I just made our goals.
We did. You know, in your head, you feel like this is what my relationship is about, right? But it's like, but wait a minute, is that like legit? Like, is that a real thing? Is that valid? Is that valid? I don't know. So we came up with
just some framework.
Yes, to help guide us.
The key is these goals have to be sustainable. Yeah. It's not a marriage New Year's resolution. This is about, we want to make sure that what we're setting in place and what I loved about working through the material, because in, you know, having these discussions with you all, the fact of the matter is we're out living, we're having to work through, even making the slides and stuff, we fussing and, you know,
it's wonderful.
It's beautiful. Even coming on today, like there were certain things actually, miscommunication, fussing all the way till we hit unmute. Hello, how are you?
But hey, this is real life and this happens, right? Like, this is like what we do. So we're just being honest. Yeah. Anyway.
So it's I have to understand we're going to have conflict.
Yes, we are.
But when we're setting these goals, so here's what also, so we have a healthy goal is one of love and support that's without judgment. Mm-hmm. But what also makes it sustainable is that it, number one, has order. So the goal shouldn't be something that takes you all out of the divine and biblical order of your life. You know, often we hear in relationships when there's issues that, hey, you know, I think I need to move on or do something apart from the marriage in order to make things better. No, God has equipped you in the relationship to make things work together.
Yes. And I think that's a part of submitting one to another, right? Mm-hmm. So this is where this comes in, this order piece, because there is headship, which is the husband. He is the leadership. Mm-hmm. But then there's the support of the wife. But then she is a valued vessel. Amen. So men can't just be, you know, well, whatever. She's a woman. No. We're in this as equal partners. And there's something we can both bring to the table. So when there's order present, then we won't feel like we're having to fight for who's secure or who's the top or who's the head, because we're in this together.
That's right. And I love how you brought up that submitting one to another. So for the wife toward the husband, it's getting in that place of understanding that in the divine order of the house, there is honor and respect that's needed for the husband. But the husband then has to honor and respect his wife by including her in all of his major ventures and movements. And so in essence, we both begin to, in order and prioritizing our life, work from the marriage. Yes. So what are the priorities in the house? And then it determines what I can take on outside of the house. Mm-hmm. Meaning that I may have to turn down certain opportunities and certain things if they take away from the sustainable goals that we're creating. Yes. And that is a liberating way to live, that I don't have to please anybody else outside of my house.
That's right.
I'm gonna say that again. I don't have to please anybody else outside of my house.
That includes family.
Hello, somebody. So the focal point has to be because God lives in the house, so my job is to please him. And my spouse is the primary. Children come after the spouse.
Yes.
Because those jokers are going to be in the house, hopefully, for a set period of time, and then they're gone.
They're going to leave.
And then you're having to figure out what is life like when it's us two again, and we haven't talked in 18 to 20 years.
And this is where Janine and Rob will take that conversation over. Tell you more about that.
The next thing we want to do with these goals, we want to make sure that our goals have purpose. We want our goals to outlive our life.
Yeah. So a lot of times we'll have couples come in and say, well, what if one of our goals is to like get debt free? Well, that's wonderful. I love that goal. However, that's a zero-based goal.
Oh, girl, high five.
Yeah. So what is a zero-based goal? A zero-based goal is something that you can reach and it's done.
Set it and forget it.
Yeah. Now I realize it takes work to be debt-free, but still it's a zero-based goal. So you want to set your family goal as to what can be sustainable, what's continual, what's going to keep us going for years and years and years and years, not just the amount of money we have in the bank or, you know, what we're going to do this year. Yearly goals are great. Those are yearly goals or, you know, whatever, but that's not a family goal.
Oh, you're teaching this morning. Yeah, our family goals should not be zero-based goals. I like that. And purpose helps us to avoid abuse of the relationship and the gift that we have. Let me tell y'all, people are praying for the season of life that you're in. And when you complain about the season of life you're in, you're losing sight of the purpose as to why you're in that season. So with purpose, you're able to avoid a lot of times the discouragement that comes in tough seasons because we have something we're living for that is bigger than just the moment. The next thing that you want to see is that your goal has a design. Mm-hmm. So we're not just talking about make a family goal that's pie in the sky, where we're just going to throw something out here and hope it sticks. No, we want to make something that we can create actionable items mm-hmm. to make small incremental steps toward. Hear me. You want a goal that you can make small incremental steps toward. Why is that? Because success begets success. So if I accomplish small things, the success of the small things builds up to major success down the road. It's like compounded interest. But if I set these large, lofty goals that are unrealistic and that they're too high, the disappointment mm-hmm. will crush we'll set in. The desire.
Yep.
Yep. To actually want to keep making progress in the relationship. Have you all realized, however long you're together, however long you've been together, that some stuff is still the same since y'all been together? That time flew by. I know that ain't a word, but the time flew by. I mean, Ash and I have been together 15 years and I still got some things I've been working on since
absolutely.
We got together 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So if we don't make intentional and small incremental steps, it's going to be like Groundhog Day every year where we're like going
around the rabbit wheel, the rabbit circle. What is it? The mouse wheel, just going, but not getting anywhere. Yeah.
And the final part of that goal is compassion. We want the goals that you set to be full of compassion, which lends itself to how can I serve the person, the people that I have responsibility over. And so this is gonna mitigate a lot of the illicit behaviors that corrupt relationships.
Yeah, or how do I support my significant other in our family goal, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is where the 1 Corinthians 13 love chapter comes in. We gotta use patience because we're not gonna get there tomorrow, right? Like we're setting this for life. And these are the small incremental steps is what's going to be key, but we've got to do this in love.
But in setting your goals, let me set an expectation. Let me be the first one to set like the prerequisite.
What's going to happen?
Yeah, let me just set that real quick. I want you to expect adversity.
Absolutely.
Oh, buddy. We're going to be extremely candid. So Ash and I have actively been working toward children since October.
Yes.
And so that has been a process in of
itself.
And toward the end of last year, we had a glimmer of hope. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a, you know, we were pregnant at the end of last year, but 2 weeks later, yeah. we found out we weren't.
And it was around the holiday too, which makes it all worse.
It was like, oh,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I already went and got like car seats. I already got the stuff to like strap the kid in.
It's like, bum, bum, he's not bum. Kidding. He's really not kidding.
I'm not playing. I'm that guy. And we realized that we set this goal, but in the goal, there was adversity.
Yeah.
And so you have to expect that when you're going up for something, there are going to be things that show up that are absolutely devastating.
And let me tell y'all, Satan don't want y'all together. Can I just be honest? He wants to bring so much division into your house and home. And so it is something powerful when two people get on the same page and say, this is what we're going after. Satan know that. And he tries to do everything, throw everything at you he possibly can. And so this is why it's so critical that we get together, we get on the same page, but we have to know he's coming, but we have the power to overcome.
And the lesson that we've kind of gathered and walked through in this season, because now we're revving things back up to go back down that same pathway, is that the focus has to be that we fall in love with the process and not the product. So in making and setting goals, fall in love with the process. Now, I'm thoroughly enjoying the process, let me tell you.
You know what?
I'm just saying. But the process is beyond that. The process is the emotional get up, the realizing that I have to be there for my wife because her body is going through a lot of changes as well. And so being emotionally available, listening and going through the thoughts, and Satan is going to throw darts toward every goal
he
you
sure
set.
He sure is. Absolutely.
But you have to expect
adversity.
And so there are two types of pressures I want you all to be mindful of. The first one are the internal pressures. As we talked about earlier, it's the baggage. Mm-hmm. It's the pressure that comes
it's
with
the emotional stuff you're going through, the maybe trust issues, maybe, I don't know. And it could have been stuff that happened in the relationship, like things that you all did to each other, or it could have been things that you brought into the relationship, such as like home of origin issues that had nothing to do with your significant other. But here you are dealing with all this, right? Yeah.
Then we have external pressures, and those come with the change in the job market, change in job status,
a loss of a loved one.
We have to take care of an ailing parent.
Yeah.
Things that are outside
of our control.
House. And so you have these two different types of pressures. And honestly, the ones that you can first control are the ones that are happening internally, casting the whole of our care on the God. I mean, I'm just going to be flat out honest with you. Without a thriving relationship with God, without anchors in times of prayer, corporately and individually, without having an outlet, pun intended, men's, women's, to be able to get certain things off your chest, having a safe space to really process what's going on, going and seeking mental health therapy. I mean, you're talking about people, Ash and I, with a mental health therapist on speed dial. We got people coaching us left and right.
Yep.
I mean, we are not self-made.
No.
And self-maintained. There's help that's there. Those are just for the internal pressures, because a lot of the external pressures are out of our control.
Absolutely.
And when we fail to have proper coping mechanisms for the internal pressures, we will try to control the external pressures and just continue to drive the internal pressures up exponentially. And so we want to have you that when you're setting goals,
expect the adversity. Yeah. And so with this adversity we're talking about, we got up a little chart here. We want you all to look at the top portion of this chart are there four main types of conflict, right? Now in your relationship, we want you and your husband together to figure out which of these conflicts do you usually butt heads with. Now, you may have butt heads with one of these in the marriage or in the relationship, but which one's your primary one that you continually tend to butt heads with in that four types of conflict at the top? And then at the bottom, how do you guys usually work through those conflicts? Like, what's your style of conflict resolution? And so that's what we want you to do now. Just kind of just go through these. Look at the chart.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Do anybody have any discussion about like, well, I think it's this, but you think it's that. Well, I don't know, you know, and it may be one or two. You might have like two or more, two that you really struggle with, but that's okay. But we wanted to get you all on the same page of these types of conflicts. All right, now.
So that is the balance of our instruction time. Now it's time to really put all into play.
Yes.
And we're going to get ready to go to our breakout rooms, and we'll have about 30 minutes inside of our breakout rooms for you all to, you know, build community, get to know each other. But we want to go even deeper because the goals are best made when we understand what needs are currently present in the household. And we have laid out, you might want to take a screenshot.
If you have a phone or something, take a screenshot of this.
Because these are the top 10 relational needs, okay? We want to take a screenshot of this just for your reference.
Yeah.
These are the top 10 relational needs. And we're going to have some fun with this because what we're going to have you all do is they're going to be, I want you all to pick the five needs in random order to start, five needs that you believe that you have, and don't talk to your spouse about this, but five needs that you have and five needs you think your spouse or your partner has. Mm-hmm. Just kind of write those down.
If you're dating, yeah, your partner, down. Right.
We're going to start there, finding out of the 10, narrowing it down to five, right?
Now, and you can't tell each other.
You can't tell each other.
Yeah.
And inside of the groups, what we're going to have you all do is after you've got the five that you believe you have and the five that you believe your spouse has, we're going to have you narrow them down to three.
That's all right.
Of what you believe your top needs are and what your spouse's top needs are. After you narrow them down to three, we'll already be in the breakout rooms.
Yeah.
And then you all will compare answers and align what you said were your top mm-hmm. needs and see how far or how close you are with your spouse's top needs. And I'm going to tell you, this is going to be eye-opening when you see that. All right. And when you now know what the top three needs are for yourself and the top three needs of your spouse, because you all have declared them, just some conversation on just some things and some ways that we can work together.